Today is December 25th, and I will tell you what's special about this day. It is the Lord's Day, and we're all here to remember our Lord and to celebrate all that He has ever done for us, to worship God in spirit and truth, and to remember we are His children. We are the chosen. We have studied that over and over and over again for the past few months. And I want to talk to you this morning about the gift of Jesus, not in the sense of any kind of Christmas theme, but the fact is that Jesus was the gift of God given to us. He is the one who God sent down from heaven to be our Savior. And, you know, we think about Jesus. Why did He have to come? Well, one reason He had to come is because we have problems. And those problems exist to us on an ongoing basis. And we are always dealing with things that pertaining to this life. And, you know, the third point is that, you know, sometimes we feel a sense of loss or loneliness or confusion or despair. And this Jesus, the way to victory, was not supposed to be there the whole time. And I apologize for that, but that's the bottom line. As we think about Jesus this day, I want you to think in terms of victory. He is the way to give us victory every day of our lives, not any one particular day in that sense. Read in your hearing was John 14, 1 through 6, a wonderful scripture that we've heard many, many times, and I would hope that we dwell on that often in our daily thoughts and meditations. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." And Jesus answered that question of Thomas, who said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" By saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." Listen, you know, about the time of Abraham, man has been experiencing great deals and great sufferings. But again, when we think further back, all the way back to Job, men who are born into this world, Job says, born of a woman, are in a few days full of trouble. That is why we need Jesus. That's why we need Him in our lives every single day of our lives. You know, we might think of Job's words that, you know, for thousands of years being expressed in sentiment to millions of people across this world that we live in. And the good news, however, is that Jesus Himself is the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the gift of God. He is the one who can lead us out of temptation, the one who can lead us to victory in our lives. And so I want to introduce several areas today where we just focus on Jesus, who is the way to victory. And you know, the purpose is to convince myself and to all the hearers, to exhort one another, to teach, to maybe there could sometimes in lessons, there could even be a little bit of rebuke. But the bottom line is that we all need to continue to grow in our faith, understanding the confidence that we have in Jesus. And so we begin with the idea that Jesus, you know, the way of Jesus is victory. It leads us to a very abundant life spiritually and oftentimes even in the physical sense. Jesus, He says that I have come, that they may have life and that they may have life more abundantly. John chapter 10 and verse 10. And you think of all that time when Jesus offers the abundant life, all those scriptures, Matthew 6:31-33, where, you know, Jesus tells us how important it is to seek first the kingdom of God, that He provides for us food and clothing and shelter. And you can just go through all these scriptures, one scripture at a time. You know, a brother once defiled life between birth and death. That happens to all of us. But that abundant life that Jesus offers, it is from now until the hereafter. And it is powerful. And it is convincing. You know, to be more than getting just simply food, He meets all of our physical goals. Everything that we, quote, need comes from Jesus. And so that's our goal. That's our sustenance. That's our substance, is Jesus Christ. And so we do have a physical life, but we have a spiritual life as well. And we need to meet the needs of both of those. Remember, Solomon says, from the dust you are, that's our physical life, and from the dust you shall return. That physical life will end, but the soul returns back to God. Henry W. Longfellow, he wrote that life is real. Life is real life in earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return was not spoken of the soul. And so remember that. We have such a gift in Christ Jesus. And so what should we be living for when we think about this? What should we be living for? And I don't know about Mr. Longfellow. You know, he got at least the one thing right, that the soul is eternal. So we should be living for the eternal things. You know, we should be living from day to day for Christ, who is our Savior, who is our life, and who is the way, the truth, and the life. And the choices that we make are very, very important in that respect. I want you to think, you know, we're dealing with an immortal soul. Everyone has that. Our life, as James said in chapter 4 and verse 14, is just a vapor. And so we have to be very wise in our thinking. We need to make the time that we have upon this earth used redeeming the time, as Paul said, because the days are evil. And sadly, in the world that we live in, people are not redeeming the time, the vast majority of people. People who don't live viewing eternity, they live viewing the moment. They live viewing right now, here. And there's a different plan, though, for Christians. Because we have Jesus, we know that there's more, like Brother Randy said in his prayer this morning. You know, there's more to life than food and body and the clothing that is mentioned in Matthew 6:25. Our life has a much deeper meaning. And because of we are Christians, we eat and drink and understand that tomorrow we'll die. 1 Corinthians 15:32. You know, we know that our Lord Jesus is coming. We have great hope in the resurrection of Christ, that He has been raised from the dead. Those things were mentioned this morning in our communion time. We also know that the coming of the Lord, it'll be like a thief in the night. And it'll be quick. And so we live our lives day to day waiting for the Lord. You know, we're ordinary people with an extraordinary Savior. Life that we have may be abundant, filled with all the joys and all the pleasures and all the things that are physical, meeting all our needs. Or our life might be just average, where we just seem to get by day by day. But Jesus, He said that I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And so, you know, think about what that really means. The word abundant means to exceed, to go over and above, beyond measure, to be superior, to overflow. That's what Jesus is bringing us. First in the spiritual sense, and then meeting all of our needs. You know, there's three things where we want to abound. We want to abound in love. We want to be abundant in our love. We want to be able to share that love not only with one another, between us and God, but also with the world. And, you know, Philippians chapter 1 and at verse 9, we need to abound more and more in love, that the Lord may increase and abound in love, that we may increase and abound in love toward one another, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 3 and 12. And so, think about Jesus. He is the definition of love. God is love. Christ is God. God came in the flesh to walk among men because He loved us, even though we were still in our sins. We also need to be thinking about how we must abound in our work. Paul said that it's important for us to remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, a little work can maybe get us by, but a lot of work is what it means to abound in work. Work in the kingdom of God. Prayers and singing and assembling and meeting one another's needs and evangelizing the gospel. And those are things that we must do as Christians. We must abound or have an abundance of work. In Christ, the Christians enjoy the abundant life. And so we must work abounding in the work of the Lord as much as we possibly can. Working through love, Galatians 5 and 6. And then we work the work of love, the labor of love, patience of hope and enduring of Christ Jesus, remembering those things without ceasing. So that is something that we get because of our relationship with God. And then, of course, abundant giving, that was mentioned this morning, and from, you know, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where those saints there gave of themselves first to the Lord, and then they gave of their means. And they gave a great amount out of their poverty, the scripture says. And so we excel as we think about giving as a process, something that we can do for the Lord, not just monetarily again, but spiritually, giving of ourselves first to the Lord and then to others. And so, you know, they were under trial of affliction, the scripture says. And out of that great poverty and the riches of their liberality they gave, that was a wonderful thing. We want to be able to be that way when it comes to giving, not just money, but of ourselves to the Lord first. And so that attitude that we have is because of Jesus, because He is our Savior. Then I want you to think, you know, Paul brings this love and abounding in liberally giving to one another. He brings that all together because the fact that they are Christians. God, who is able, makes us able to abound in all things. And so that's the fact that Jesus is our Savior. He is the gift of God, and He is the way to victory. And Jesus, of course, wants us all to have that abundant life. Through Him, we have abundance of grace. Through Him, we have an abundance of love. Through Him, we have an abundance of joy. And through Him, we have an abundance of peace. And the question is, have we received Jesus? If you have not received Jesus, that's what you need to do in order to have this great gift from God and all these blessings that come from God. obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, being baptized for the remission of your sins, and being added to the body of Christ, which is where all spiritual blessings are. And so through Him we have all those things. And we ask, you know, are we enjoying that abundant life in Christ? And I want you to think about this, that many people only truly, in a very physical, non-spiritual way, enjoy the abundance of life two times a year. Think about that. Because many people enjoy it on Easter, the day they call Easter, and many people enjoy it on a day they call Christmas. And the rest of the year is just hustle and bustle. And it's interesting, because if we're not enjoying that, then we have to ask ourselves, why not? And so I want you to consider this as we ponder that. Those who receive this life are blessed. They're now the happiest people in the world. And one of the reasons is because we commit ourselves to the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We commit ourselves to the truth so that we understand from the Scriptures, rightly dividing, that we are saved. Victory in Christ. Just simply because we believe the truth, the unadulterated truth, the untwisted truth. That is the way to victory. And that's what the happiest people in the world do. And I pray you are happy because of the fact that you have obeyed the truth, because you know the truth, and because the way of the truth leads to life everlasting, leads to victory in Jesus. Even in the most adverse circumstances, the truth wins. You know, Paul was so blessed when he was in prison. He wrote wonderful words about being in prison. He wrote that the prison guards there in the palace, they all knew because of his preaching and because of his light, because of his joy in Christ, that his bonds were not in the prison, but his bonds were in Christ. And the result of that was those brethren in Philippi, they took note of that, and they were able and strengthened and had the ability to speak out the gospel even when it was rejected by those around them. Christians were being persecuted in Asia Minor, which is today called Turkey. And yet joy inexpressible, full of joy, as we read from Peter. And Jesus also gives us the way of victory over our sins. We've all fallen short. We all have problems. And the problems that we have in life, they are persistent. But He is the solution. He is a solution to every problem, minor, serious. Jesus is the solution. Not the issues of life and death. Not the things of the humanistic teaching. We won't be hurt by atheism or agnosticism or denominationalism in the world. Our most serious problem is the missing the mark of God in our spiritual walk, because we're Christians. And so when we miss the mark, it means we've sinned. And that's because we're all guilty of sins. Paul says that in Romans 6 and 23, Romans 3, 23. We've all fallen short. And contrary to popular belief, sin does not go without consequence. Unfortunate, the way that the world has developed in the society. They believe that there are no consequences. And I'm sad. But because we have a relationship with Jesus, we know otherwise. We know otherwise. And through Jesus, God provides forgiveness. That is a great gift. That's something that we've grasped and taken hold of. And that is one reason that we have victory in Jesus. That's why that what Jesus promised in John 14, that He is going to go away and He's going to come back and receive us unto Himself so that where He is, we may be also. What a gift. All the people celebrating secular holidays that pertain to Christ, but don't believe the word of Christ, don't have the gift. We have that gift. That's something that can never be taken away. And we have it because of His love for us. We have it because we've shared the blood of Christ. We've been partakers of that blood. We have received the forgiveness of sins because of that powerful blood. And through that blood and through that sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven of our sin. Those people who have not taken that path have no forgiveness of their sins. But we're happy. Happy in Jesus. And so, Jesus, of course, is the answer. He is the way of victory that leads us to God our Father. And that is the ultimate goal. And you know, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, and He said, let there be light, and let the firmament divide from the heavens, and He created then the dry land, and then He created the animals and everything that walked on the land. He created the seas and all the animals in the seas and the birds of the air. When God did all those things and created man, He had a mind in His mind that man would have victory through Jesus and one day see that Creator, our Father in heaven. And listen, He is, you know, you can do a study on this. God is not the Father of everyone, but the Father of those who obey. He is the Father of those whom He has called the children of God, the redeemed, the saints, the elect. And Jesus came into this world to reconcile man back to the Father. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20, God sent Jesus for that purpose. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. Anyone in Christ, all things are made new. Anyone in Christ, we are the ambassadors now for that Savior. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, is what Paul tells us. And listen, I don't see anyone here who isn't in Christ, but take that message out to the world. If you're not in Christ, you're not reconciled. If you're not in Christ, you can plead to God all day and all night, and He won't hear you. Be reconciled to God before it's everlastingly too late. And take that message out with you. Let the world know. That is that truth that we have, that we live and abide in, that gives us victory, that one day will guide and lead us to God our Father. You know, John 14:3, He's going to come back. He's going to come back and He's going to take us home. That's a gift we can rely on. He reconciled us to the Father, and we have that relationship with God that is necessary to have that victory. You know, Jesus has authority over all things, that He should give eternal life to as many as the Father gives Him. We read that in John chapter 17, verse 2 and 3. And that eternal life so that they may know the Father. That's the gift, the ultimate goal. And Jesus is the one that God sent into the world to give us that great gift, and He is that great gift. Jesus is the way to a better life here and the way to seeing the Father there. Way to a better life, the forgiveness of sins, the way to God. But there's more. Jesus, the way to have victory from religious confusion, and you know, that's just a blessing altogether, especially in my life. The dilemma that many face today, consider the plight of many who wish to follow Jesus, and literally, honestly, with their hearts, they believe they are, but they're confused, and they're ever repelled by the multitude of different churches, different doctrines, different beliefs. By the conflicting doctrines, they're being offered by all of these different points, worldviews, religious worldviews, I guess you could call it, who profess that they are His church. But the way that Jesus gets victory out of confusion is so that we don't have that dilemma. You know, we consider the plight of many. We consider that they're confused. We consider that they're conflicting doctrines that are guiding them literally away from God rather than to God. And by those doctrines, they're professing to be His church. But there's a difference. One does not have to be a part of that confusion. In John chapter 17, verse 20 through 23, certainly Jesus didn't approve of that. He wanted everyone to be one with Him as He was one with God. That was His prayer. You know, He taught them the harm of division in Matthew 12 and 25. He showed them that eternal life that was necessary. He promised to build His church, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And despite of all the efforts of man, and despite of all even the power of Satan in this world, Jesus accomplished what He came to accomplish. He died upon the cross, His blood was shed, and His church was established on that rock, which was Christ. And in Acts 2:47, we read that the Lord added to the church daily all those who believed, and the church began to grow. We have that unity in Christ that we've studied in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. But we need to find that church. We need to have that way of eternal life. We need to understand that death is inevitable, right? It's appointed unto all men to die once. And after death comes the judgment, and that judgment is permanent. And after death comes the door. And that door, that all the defeating things of the devil are put away in Christ. All the power of the devil put away in Christ. Eternal condemnation put away in Christ. And so, if we are in Christ, we don't have that eternal condemnation. Victory is, of course, the way of Christ. Paul said, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. We have that gift in our lives today. Jesus offers us eternal life. To die in Jesus is to die in the way of eternal life, John 6 and 27. Jesus, don't labor for food. Food's just going to perish. Labor and endure for everlasting life. That's what the Son of God gives us. Right? I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. John 11 and verse 25. The apostle wrote, then I heard a voice from heaven to me, saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. What a wonderful sentiment. What a wonderful promise. And he says, yes, their spirit, they rest from their labors and their works follow them. That's a gift. I heard a voice from heaven. You've heard that voice. And blessed are those who die in the Lord. Blessed are those who were baptized, receive the forgiveness of sins, dead and buried with Christ, raised by the power of God to walk in newness of life. Blessed are you who die in the Lord. What a wonderful thing. So, I hope that I've spoken to your interest. And I hope that we just live a life continually striving to learn more and more about Jesus the way. It's important that we continue lessons that elaborate on these great blessings that are provided only through Jesus. So I hope to have a series that has two points that are very important. Those who are in Christ to increase the appreciation that we have, desire that we have to serve Him more and more, and those who are not Christians, to encourage them to accept Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And both in this life and in the course of the life to come. So I want you to think about Jesus today as the great gift of God toward man. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We're not lacking anything. The gift has been given, and we can prosper with that gift from now until eternity comes. I certainly hope that that is something that we will all do. Jesus gives a great invitation that, of course, in itself was a gift. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall have rest, find rest for your souls. If you haven't done that today, today is the day to believe and to be baptized and to accept Christ. If you have done that, today is the day to reflect upon yourself, the same as every day. Think about me in that mirror of the gospel of my soul. And am I living right according to God? Am I accepting the gift of Christ in truth and righteousness and holiness? And am I walking in the light as He is the light? And if not, today's a good day to make a change. Make a change in your life. Reflect upon your life, upon the things that you believe and do, and make sure that they're all in line with the way, the truth, and the life, so that we may be with the Father one day in heaven. That's the invitation. If you have any need at all, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.